I'm going to open in prayer. Lord, I just commit this service to you tonight, Father. I thank you for everyone who's here tonight. Thank you for the preparation of their hearts. Thank you for the preparation of my heart, those who will be listening over the internet, Father. I pray that this word goes forth and accomplishes what you desire for it to accomplish in the ears of everyone who hears it. Lord, it's a subject that you quickened to me as Pastor Mark was ministering on Sunday. Something that if we've been in this church for any length of period of time, it's been driven in deep in the recesses of our heart. We sometimes get slack concerning this particular subject and area. So, Father, I just commit this to you. I thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And I just give you all the praise and glory, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Pastor Mark started teaching on Sunday about prophecy. Denise did the, during the communion offering, she spoke about the word all. And Frank has been teaching on the seven churches in Revelation. And the Lord kind of gave me a little bit from almost all three of those people and different things they shared. And then he took me to some verses that we're going to look at tonight. And because the subject we're going to look at tonight is very, very important to us as God's children. We're guilty of not doing it sometimes, but the times in which we're living, and I'm curious to see how what the Lord has showed me is going to fit in and tie in with what Pastor Mark is doing. Because as I got into it, I started seeing things that he was touching the surface on Sunday. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 2. You know that the first church that Frank taught on, chapter 2, verse 2, I just want to read something here, because he's speaking to the church, and he says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not hear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. What the Lord had me focus on, and what got my attention when I read this, he goes, I want you to look at one word, and then I'm going to take you on a little journey. He says, And thou canst not hear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles. They tested, they tried what they heard. Now, I want you to go back over to Luke chapter 13. I'm just going to set a little groundwork here before we look at what the Lord had me focus on. Because I'm just as guilty as anyone else when it comes to this area. Not 13, Luke 12. Luke 12. I'm going to start in verse 54. This is Jesus speaking. And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower. And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat. And it cometh to pass. Then he says, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it that you do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? You know, Jesus is saying, you know, you can look at the weather, and you can look at all this stuff, and you're pretty good at discerning what's going on. But there's other things that are going on in the times in which we live we're oblivious to. We don't even pay attention to it. And the word that got me is you hypocrites. Because before I can share what I had to share tonight, I had to ask the Lord for forgiveness. Because, you know, we can appear to have it all under control, and we don't. And I had to apologize to the Lord, and I apologize to each and every one of you. You know, he says we can discern, basically he says we can discern the weather, but we cannot discern the time. Why? That's the question I asked. Why? The word discern there means to test, examine, prove, scrutinize, to whether something is genuine. Hypocrites simply is an actor under assumed character, stage player. Play the game. As Christians, we can put on a face. We can take on a character that looks like everything's okay. We're not living in those times, brothers and sisters. See, we have to be able to discern. We have to be able to test and try. Because we got to protect ourselves from deception, false prophets, and untruth. Because it's rampant. In the times in which we live, it's rampant. I want you to turn over to 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to spend most of the time in this chapter. I'm going to start in verse 1, and I'm going to read to verse 6. It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So, the times in which we're living in, there's a spirit of truth that is out there, and there's a spirit of error. And John starts out this chapter by says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." And as long as I've been coming here, since 1980, I can remember very, very clearly something that Pastor Bill has driven into any of us and all of us that's been here for that length of time. Pastor Mark still does it. Test every spirit. Test every spirit. You know, we get lazy in that area. And when we get lazy, knowing that there's a spirit of truth and a spirit of error, it doesn't take much to get deceived. We have to test the spirit. And he says, believe not every spirit. The word believe, it means to think, to be true, to be persuaded. To be persuaded of, to credit, place confidence in, have faith in, upon, or with respect to a person or a thing. And the word try there means to test, examine, prove, scrutinize. To see whether a thing is genuine or not. Discern, examine, prove. And what do we test it? What do we test the Spirit against? God's Word. That's the standard. It has to line up with God's Word. Everything that we come across in our life, and my wife, thank God, reminds me of this all the time. Have you asked the Lord about it? What has the Lord showed you? Because it has to line up with this book. Brothers and sisters, it has to. If it doesn't line up with this book, it's an untruth and it can lead to error in your walk and my walk. And he says, try the spirits whether they are of God. So if they're not of God, who are they of? Well, they could be of the enemy. Could be of our own flesh, could be of man, could be, it's either of God or it's of one of those other. It's of our own flesh, it's of man's wisdom and knowledge, or it's of the enemy, the Antichrist spirit. It's going to be that way all the time. But the Lord wants us to be discerning of what's going on. And it says, try the spirits whether they are of God. Why are we to try the spirits? What does it say in this verse? What is Pastor Mark beginning to teach us on? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. There is false doctrines. There is untruth that is being preached in the time in which we're living. We have to be able to know and discern. And the only way we're going to not be deceived and we're not going to be led astray is we have to know what God's Word says. And if we don't know what God's Word says, we have to not do anything until we know what God's Word says. We just can't jump. You know, Pastor Mark said he likes to listen to Keith Green. I'll never forget a statement Keith Green said. Just because you go to McDonald's doesn't mean you're a hamburger. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you're walking in the full truth of God's Word. Just because someone says they're a Christian, we still have to test their spirit. We have to. And you'll understand why as I go on in this lesson. I wrote down, we are to never assume every spiritual power or spiritual experience or spiritual demonstration is of God. Just because it has spirit in front of it doesn't mean it's of God. And I'm not talking about anything tonight. We don't know. We know these things, but God put it upon my heart. Remind my children to continue and always continue to test every spirit. And what does the world bombard us with? If it's of the world, what spirit is behind it? It's not God's spirit. Just look at the TV. Look at what is being bombarded through the airways of TV. Where are most of the movies? Where are most of the songs coming from? They're coming from Hollywood. They're coming from musicians who are not saved. What is the spirit behind that? It's not God's spirit. But you know, and I know, there are people who call themselves Christians that know the words to every song and know the words from movies and stuff that are not of God. That may be alarming to some, but it shouldn't be. It's just that they're feeding their spirit with incorrect food. Food that will cause them to go in error if they allow it to come in and get grafted in the fertile soil and the ground of their hearts. It will cause them to be deceived. And then he says, verse 2, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God." So there's a distinction here. You know, those that believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh and is of God. See, there are people, there are religions, there are people out there that believe that Jesus came in the flesh, but they don't believe he's God. So, guess what? They're in error. Okay? And their doctrine will, somewhere down the line, their doctrine will be off somewhere. Pastor Mark said it here Sunday. People come up to him all the time and give him stuff. Well, you know, you need to read this. You know, you need to look. I haven't talked to him, but I know what he does. Because he shared it before. He will test every spirit. He will go to that ministry. He will check their tenets of faith. He will check their doctrines. He will check everything. Why? Because he's the chief shepherd and he cannot allow anything that's not of God to come into his spiritual temple. We shouldn't be any different. Because you know what? Pastor Bill, I remember Pastor Bill saying, we're all shepherds. We all have little congregations. We all have little flocks. If you're a parent, you're a shepherd. You're a shepherd over your children, over your family. If we're husbands, we're shepherds over our family, over our wives, over our children. Go to 1 Thessalonians. You can hold your place here or we're going to come back to it. But go to 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians 5:21. It says, remember what Denise said on Sunday? The word all? Verse 21 says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Prove all things. That word prove there, guess what it means?
Test. Try. Test and try all things.
Hold fast that which is good. What's the only thing that's good in the world in which we live that will never change? This book. That's why it's called the Good News. Everything we need for our life is in this book. That's our standard. That's what we have to, that's our measuring stick. That's what we have to compare everything to. But I don't know about you, but I don't do that all the time. And when I don't, I miss it. Now, go back to 1 John, and I want to go to, no, go to 2 John. I want to read something here before we go back to 1 John. Second John. Yeah, 2 John 1, 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Isn't that what we just read? In 1 John chapter 4, it says, many deceivers are entered into the world. It didn't say many deceivers are going to enter into the world. It says many deceivers are entered into the world. We're living in a world and a time in which there are many deceivers who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, go over to 2 Peter . My pages are all stuck together. 2 Peter 1:20. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but of holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is what prompted them. And in go back to 1 John chapter 4. Well, okay, Lord, I'll go to that one next then. Go to 1 John chapter 2. We've already established the deceiver is already in the world, right? We know there's an antichrist spirit in the world. It's already here. Okay? Verse 18 of chapter 2 says, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that antichrist shall come, even now there are many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. As my wife said to me, I thank God that we're in a church called the Christian Service Center, and we have a pastor that is teaching us the uncompromised word and giving us the truth regarding the time in which we're in, because there are people, and it causes my heart to be grieved, that are not being prepared for what's coming and what's really going on out there. It says, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know some things. You know all things. You know, the more I was studying for this lesson, I started to get a greater understanding of what Pastor Mark's been talking about when he's doing teaching on all things. It is amazing how many scriptures you start looking at, and now that word all things just, it pops out. It's like on a neon sign. But here it is here. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. So what does that leave out that we don't know? Nothing. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Verse 24, let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall continue in the Son and in the Father. See, that Antichrist spirit, has one purpose: to deceive, to lead astray, and to cause you and I to err in our walk with God. Anyone remember Jesus juice? Basically, what our pastor said is that when we get squeezed, the only thing that should come out of us is Jesus. And he called it Jesus juice. Well, see, when we have the truth of God's word abiding in us, which is what this already told us, that great, you know, that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So where is he abiding? In us. So we have the truth residing in us, correct? Is that true? Okay. In line with Jesus' juice, I wrote this down. True prophecy, true teaching will present a true Jesus. All three of those. If you got true teaching, it's going to lead to true prophecy. And they both will always lead you to the true Jesus. See, there's errors in teachings that are going on in the world today. they're not getting the true Jesus. They're getting a friend Jesus. A Jesus will help them out of their problems. They're getting another gospel, another doctrine. But they're not getting the true Jesus. And see, we have to be able to test that. We have to be able to discern that. Not some of the time, all the time. And as it says in verse 4, we've overcome them. He says, you are of God. Brothers and sisters, you are of God. You have the greater one living within you. He's greater than anything that you will encounter in this world. But you have to believe that. I have to believe that. And yet, we still get upset over things. We still get upset over things that are said and done by people who are not truly walking in God's Spirit. Let me give you an example. You're working with someone, or you're talking with someone, and you consider them a friend, or you consider them a good co-worker, and they lie right to your face. Why do we get upset? That's their nature. Their nature is going to lie. The only reason I know that is because I used to get upset. And the Lord goes, why are you getting upset? They're of their father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. They will lie. That's their nature. Your job is to show them the light so they can come out of that old nature, that antichrist spirit that's causing them to lie, because he is the father of all lies, and allow them to become free. Because they're going to lie. And they have no problem looking you eyeball to eyeball and lying straight to your face. It's their nature. But yet we get upset. And I think we get upset sometimes because they may have said, oh yeah, I believe in God. So that automatically makes them a Christian. But if we don't test the spirit behind those statements and what people say, we can be deceived by a spirit of error, by an antichrist spirit. We can be deceived. And see, this is where we get in trouble. And I'm raising my hand to be first in the line on this one. I wrote down, we need to always rely on the Spirit that is in us rather than relying on ourselves. We always get in trouble when we rely on ourselves, our own leadings, our own wisdom, instead of relying on the Spirit of God and testing every spirit. Do you believe that God wants to have a deeper relationship with you? Do you believe that God wants to be involved in every aspect of your life? Every conversation, every thought, every feeling, he does, but we don't always include him. Until we're at, as it said in the Psalms, we're at wit's end. Lord, help! He goes, I'm glad you finally asked. I've been here the whole time. I just needed for you to ask. So, if we have the understanding here that there's two types, there's the Spirit of God that believes and confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and is of God, and then we have the one that doesn't believe that. So we have light and we have darkness. The world is getting darker. But the question the Lord asked me, are you getting brighter as a light to shine in the darkness? Because see, we as Christians should be a shining light in the dark world in which we're living. Because see, spiritual darkness guides and influences what goes on in the world. Everything that goes on in the world is dictated by spiritual darkness. It's not dictated by the Spirit of God. Now, there are spiritual men and women who are in leadership positions that are operating and moving by the Spirit of the living God. I'm not saying that's not true. It is. But when you look upon the whole earth, there's a lot of spiritual darkness. But see, God's going to have His way. He's raising up His lights. He's raising up those who will be bright lights in a dark world so that they can be saved. First John 3:1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth not, because it knew Him not." See, if someone doesn't know Jesus, they're not going to fully understand where you're coming from. They're going to think you're wacko. They're going to think you came from another planet. That's okay. It's okay to be considered weird. Oh, I want to go back to 1 John chapter 4. In verse 6, it says, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." That word error means wandering, straying about, led astray from the right way, deceit, delusion. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to lead us away. He wants us to not know and not compare and live our lives according to this standard. He wants us to... Well, one of the biggest areas that he tries to use in the body of Christ, I believe, is he likes to get you and I to compare ourselves to one another. Because you know what? It can bring about division. It can bring about resentment. It can bring about unforgiveness. It can bring about all those things that are not the fruit of the Spirit. Because we're comparing ourselves to someone else. I love you all very much. But you know what? You're not my standard. Because you know what? Somewhere along the line, you're going to fail me in the image I have, and I'm going to fail you in the image that you have of me. But see, Jesus will never fail. He's our yardstick. He's our measuring stick. Not one another. And people who put people up on pedestals as spiritual whatever, it's okay until that person makes a mistake. And then, whew, your world comes crashing down. can't believe they did that. They're human. They make mistakes. Okay. How are we doing on time here? Okay, I'm good. I want to go to something in regard to testing every spirit that is prevalent. You hear a lot, a lot, a lot. Go over to Matthew chapter 7. I want to read verse 15 and 16. It says, 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So, I ask you this, brothers and sisters. We have a job in this walk with Jesus. We're to be fruit inspectors. We have to test the fruit. We have to know what kind of fruit are people producing. And this is what you're going to hear. I'll guarantee you, Pastor Mark, he can correct me if I'm wrong, but this is what you're going to hear. Judge not, that you be not judged. For what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with whatsoever you meet, it shall be measured to you again. I had that said to me when I was a very young Christian, and I didn't know what I know today. And I looked at that person and I said, that sounds good. But how do you explain to me, you saying I'm judging this person, and I go, I'm not judging them. I'm examining their fruit. And their fruit doesn't line up with this Bible. And if you consider it judgment, I have nothing else to say. Because it says, you shall know them by their fruit. And it says that twice. It says it in 16. It says, you shall know them by their fruits. And then in verse 20, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. An apple tree doesn't produce oranges. A pear tree doesn't produce peaches. An apricot tree doesn't produce lemons. And God was smart enough in His creation to tell us
that everything produces in like kind or like manner. So if it's an apple tree, it produces apples. If it's a lemon tree, it produces lemons. If it's a Christian, it produces the fruits of the Spirit. Bottom line, that's why you get Jesus fruit. Because if you're a Jesus tree and you get squeezed like they do a maple tree, what comes out of a maple tree? Maple syrup. Called sap. Okay? But that's what comes out of a maple tree, is maple syrup. So our fruits are going to tell us what kind of tree. And that's what it says here in these verses we just read. It says, every good tree brings forth bad fruit. Is that what it says? No. It says, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So the tree is going to produce either good fruit or it's going to produce bad fruit. There's no in between. There's no gray. There's no black and white. It's good fruit, good tree, good fruit. Bad tree, bad fruit. But we just want to... we want to see the good in everyone. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the Lord was correcting me and showing me we're living in times now, we've got to test everything. And the more so as the days pass by. Because it is, there is so much deception and error that is going on. And, you know, I don't think we sometimes really appreciate the uncompromised word we've been given in this place. Because soon I've had the opportunity, from the time we were in New York until we moved down here, and the only reason we moved down here wasn't a job, we moved down here because of the uncompromised word. And I thank God we did. Because we've been in small churches, we've been in mega churches, we've been in churches that had musicians better than any musician you'd see in the world. We've been in churches where congregations were huge, the entertainment was unbelievable. But if a fruit inspector came by, I just wonder what they would have found and what report they would have written up. But you know what? There is a fruit inspector that comes by. Jesus is with us every time we meet. The master fruit inspector, we're being inspected. What fruit are you producing? What fruit am I producing? And if it's a good, if we're producing a good fruit, when we get squeezed, we're going to produce Jesus fruit. We're not going to get around it. It's not going to happen. But yet, people will say, judge not. When I hear that, I get a red flag. Simply because I've seen so many people that say that they get deceived, they get led astray because they're not testing every spirit. They're not testing the spirit behind what's being said. They're not testing the spirit behind what is being done.
Thank you, Lord. I don't have this in my scripture, in my notes, but I'm going to follow you, Lord. Help if I go to the right book, Lord. John 15, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire that they are burned. That was spoken in a scripture I said earlier. See, it says, abide in me. We're commanded to abide in him. He's the vine. He's our source. He's our only source. We cannot get life from any other thing in this world other than Jesus. There is no other life. There is no other source. But he wants us to abide in him. And then verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. See, you know, as big as that word all is, that Pastor Mark's been talking about, Denise talked about on Sunday, it's only three letters. It's a big word, all. There's another word that's just as big, but it's only two. And it's the word if. He says, if a man abide not in me, if you abide in me. You know, you start doing a study on the word if. I mean, just this chapter alone, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's 9 ifs in John 15. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. He's got all these ifs that go on throughout this chapter. But, see, I just said it. I just negated everything I just said with the word but. There is no but. His word is true. And the sole purpose for tonight's lesson, tonight's teaching is to rekindle and to stir up something that we already know, but we get lax in it. We get lax in testing every spirit. Try every spirit. Test every spirit to see if it's of God. You know, because there are false prophets, because there are false gods, because there are out there people teaching in error. You know, I remember when I first got saved, we were living in New York, and there was a, gosh, what was the name of that church? They had wheelchairs and canes and everything else hanging all over the walls. Something cathedral. But anyway, I mean, I hadn't been saved 3 or 4 weeks. And this friend of ours says, come on, we're going to Wednesday night service. And I'm seeing all kinds of things going on. 90% of them were of God. Because I get home and I'm like, wow. Person throws a cane away and walks away. Person gets out of a wheelchair tied to a dialysis machine and pulls the thing out, lifting hands up. I'm like, what did I get myself into? This is weird. And he goes, and the guy I was with, he goes, so what'd you think? I go, Bobby, that was some strange stuff. He goes, most of it was God. There was a couple things that were done in the flesh. And he goes, and I'm not going to tell you what it was. I said, why? I said, I'm very young. I said, you know, I don't want to be led astray or see something and believe it and think it's of God. He goes, you won't. Just ask God to show you what was of God and what wasn't of God. And you have to always ask God, Lord, teach me how to test every spirit. Two best pieces of advice I got as a young Christian. Don't ever read any other book than this Bible for the first 2 years of your life. And Bobby, who told me, test every spirit. You know, and I forgot that he told me that until standing here right now. And for a long period of time, I lived by that. And then I kind of got slack, kind of got lazy. You know, I know enough of God's word. I'm not going to, no, I can't even rely upon that. Neither can you. We can't rely upon how much. Yeah, we need to know God's word. We need to have God's word sown in our heart. But we also need the reliance of the Holy Spirit, the God within, who has all discernment and has all ability of that which is true and that which is not true, and ask Him to show us what is truly of God. We won't be led astray then, brothers and sisters. It's important. And the only reason I taught on this tonight is just to remind you of something you already know. But we can't get slack in it. We can't take for granted that we have arrived. We've got a big, big Jesus. And everyone says there's a big devil. Nah. He gets made a lot bigger because we make him bigger. He has no power. He has no teeth. You know? He goes about as a roaring lion without any teeth. I mean, come on. When's the last time you saw someone got killed by a lion with no teeth? Might have got gummed to death, but he didn't get killed because he got his flesh ripped apart. But see, God has our best interests at heart. And He will show us. He will show us what's behind. I'm just trusting the Lord right now. I remember when the kids were in school and the teachers went with the kids to somewhere in Orlando. I forget where it was at. And they went into this, I don't want to call it an exhibition or whatever, but it was like a little play or a little scene or whatever. And all the teachers got up and got all the children and said, let's go. Because they all sensed the spirit that was in that place was not of God, and because of their leadership position, they were not going to subject the children of the Christian Service Center to that spirit. Praise God. Praise God. But see, that's how sensitive the Lord wants us to be. And when we are that sensitive and we obey the leading of the Holy Spirit, it's wonderful. And when we mess up and we're not sensitive, repent. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the Lord how you missed it. How did I err, Lord? Because He wants to teach you. He wants to teach me so we don't do it again. Amen? Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, we thank You. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You for the greater one that lives within us than the one that's in the world. We thank You for the ability to discern and to test every spirit, Father, whether it's of You or whether it's not of You, whether it's of the world, whether it's of man, because, Lord, we do not want to be misled. We do not want to be led astray. We want to be drawn closer and closer to You, Father. We want to know Your ways. And Lord, we want to be in the world, but not of the world. We want to be a light in the darkness. So Father, we commit our lives and our spirit man to You, Father. Continue to teach us regarding this subject. Continue to guide and direct us into all truth, Father, because You are truth. You are the way. There is no error. There is no deception. There is no untruth in You, Father. And we thank You and we praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.